And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. One of the most common stumbling blocks perceived to stand between the common person and their belief in the Christian faith is the notion of miracles. Someone new to the Bible opens to the first page they see and finds that a prophet was swallowed by a whale and dwelt there for 3 days, Book of Jonah. Turning back a few chapters, they read that a donkey spoke, Book of Numbers. In the New Testament, a woman becomes pregnant without knowing a man. The child becomes a man who walks on water. Another woman is healed of internal bleeding by touching that same man's garment. A man blind from birth receives sight, and another is even raised from the dead by the same man. And today, 7 loaves of bread and a few small fishes feed 4,000 people with 7 baskets of leftovers after everyone was filled. For many in recent history, the pull has been something like an effort to contemporize the Bible message, to bring it into our modern scientific age, to try and preach to the modern man. The idea is to go to Office Depot and pick up a Sharpie marker and a good pair of scissors and place the Bible down on a desk and start editing. Jonah and the whale metaphor. Balaam's donkey legend. Woman becomes pregnant without knowing a man, allegory. Woman healed of her infirmity, coincidence. Lazarus raised from the dead, some kind of mild coma. A man blind from birth receives sight, literary device. And 7 baskets full of food picked up after multiplication of loaves and the feeding of a multitude, hallucination, exaggeration. And such folks will say that each of the miraculous claims of the Bible ought to be cleaned up, modernized, contemporized, because now we have science. So that if anyone's going to receive their sight, it's going to be through laser surgery. If anyone is going to become pregnant without knowing a man, it's going to be through in vitro fertilization. If anyone's going to rise from the dead, it's going to be with a defibrillator. And we find people saying, even Christians, that the real message of the gospel is simply intellectual and spiritual, and out of every miracle story, it is the kernel of truth that must be freed from the husk, and that it is the duty of the modern Christian evangelist to separate the chaff from the wheat, to demythologize, to take what's best and leave the rest. More specifically, to read about miracles and take what is spiritual and turn it into a moral and leave alone what was physical. In the gospel for today, Jesus multiplies loaves and fish to feed 4,000. And before a person can sit back with a knowing look to say, here we find in Mark's account a metaphor for spiritual feeding, let us think for just a second, because you and I know that the real question is not whether God can perform a miracle or not, but whether there is a God or there isn't. If there is a God, then any God who can create heaven and earth out of nothing could also, in the most modest of terms, be called a miracle worker. God who created and multiplied all fish and all grain can probably manage the multiplication of a few loaves and a few fishes. And quite literally, if there is a God, he can manage anything. And so the tiptoe movement away from miracles becomes quite suspect, actually, when the light is turned on. What does one say when one says that the supernatural cannot intervene in the natural world? Simply put, the instinct is very often a veiled unbelief in the supernatural, a veiled unbelief in God, and certainly an unbelief in the Christian faith, which is entirely God, really intervening in human history, spiritually and physically. If you can't believe in miracles, you might not believe in God. And though I'm glad you're here in the room, you may be in the wrong room. The miracles of the Bible, yes, have spiritual meaning, absolutely. But the reason that the spiritual meaning could be communicated to so many and that their ears were so ready to hear was because the physical miracle had caught their attention. They caught people's attention, these miracles, so that the spiritual truth beneath those miracles would be more readily heard. And as so often the case is, the medium is the message. So let's hold that in mind. Real miracles have real meaning. The real providence and protection of God has a real import for our lives. And so then what is the miracle and what is the meaning of the feeding of the 4,000? First of all, let us admit this. God, whose miracle was to create and then eventually create us, could have created us in any way that he wanted to. By that, I mean he could have given us wheels and an antenna so that he could speak to us directly and so that we would never need a knee replacement. And more importantly, let us recognize that he created us a hungry people. Literally hungry, and he didn't have to. He could have given us a lifetime battery pack or something like that. But as it stands, every few hours, we need to eat, at least every few days. He gave us hunger. And it was not idly and for no reason that he created us this way. Because of the way we are created, we are dependent. We are hungry. We are, and here's a word no one likes, needy. And we are designed that way. We are designed to be dependent, and we are reminded of it about every 5 hours. Because you may try to fast for a few days, and sooner or later, your body will need to be fed. And it will remind you of this. And that is not meaningless or tiresome or just a physical thing. That is a sign. It's even a joy and perhaps even a miracle in itself. Consider in this passage from St. Mark, the people had followed Jesus for 3 days and had taken nothing to eat. And then Jesus had compassion on them. That is a perfect picture. We follow the Lord wherever he leads us. We open to God our need as we follow him, and he has compassion on us. We are dependent. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. He provides for us what we need when we need it, as is most expedient for us. And we're grateful eternally. That's the deal. That's the relationship. But the very real bread and the fish are not permanent solutions. They are signs. Just as many of the miracles that we see in our lives are meant to be. Not solutions in themselves, but signs. Now, this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the bread is reported to us in all the Gospels, and sometimes it appears twice, suggesting that perhaps it happened twice. But of particular interest to me has always been the instance in the 6th chapter of St. John, because there's a spiritual insight there that makes the meaning, the sign of the miracle, even more obvious. In this account, Jesus miraculously feeds the multitude, and just a short while later, some of them come to him and say, "Hey, do that again. It's been about 5 hours, perhaps a little longer." And Jesus' quick answer is simply, no. And notice that the first instinct is not to disbelieve in the miracle, but to ask him to do it again. Do you think we might do that too? If he answered all of our prayers, we'd say, do it again. Just not so bad. But these people probably said, come on, Jesus, you are the supreme and eternal nice guy. If your neighbor asks you for a loaf of bread, you know what you said. And Jesus says, nice try. Actually, your asking for more bread is a bit of a disappointment. because your physical hunger was always meant to be a sign to you. I am fulfilling the experience of hunger and feeding right now, but you would like to go back to barley. You didn't understand the sign of hunger. Let me explain it to you. He says, I am the bread of life. You follow me now because you think you can get more barley. Flour, water, salt, and yeast. The bread that you eat will nourish you for about 5 or 6 hours. And every few hours for the rest of your life, you'll discover again and again your need. And hopefully you'll be asking yourself, where is the greater bread of life? And now, right now, I'm standing right in front of you. Don't tell me you prefer a handful of flour. It's too disappointing to hear you say it. No, I will not give you more bread. I am the bread of life. But if I stop eating bread, I'll die. Well, that's a sign. If you do not eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Oh, yes, you will need the barley loaves. But when you're eating your barley loaves, remember that you will always need me. To his disciples, he makes it even easier. He puts the physical and the spiritual right slap together, saying at supper, this bread is my body, which is given for you. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Do this, and as you shall drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Here's your physical hunger. Here's your circumstance of need, which is a sign to you of your spiritual hunger and your spiritual need. You ask for bread, and all right, I'll give you bread. But I will give it to you in a form which is much better. Not only the sign, but the thing signified. I will give you myself. I am the bread of life. Here is a miracle. Why do we make such a focal point of this sacrament of the body and blood of Christ under the forms of bread and wine? That's why. When God created us, he placed us right in the middle of a garden. And it was not 10 minutes before we started looking at the fruit of the garden, not as his gift, as his love letter to us, as his message, but as an end in itself and as a way around him. And God has always said to us, I give you myself, but ever since sin entered into this world, our request continues to be, give us more barley. You created us hungry, give us more bread. We are meant to feast upon the bread of life, but we will settle for barley loaves. And I don't know how else to tell you, but like this, Jesus' followers literally followed him. Some from a long way for 3 days without having anything to eat, and that was meet and right so to do. The Lord, though, knowing their needs, performed a literal miracle, and that which they had needed, food, God gave to them. Because they sought Christ, they were spiritually and physically fed. The miracle is a sign to us. Your hunger each day, along with all the physical needs that you and your family in this church, in this city, in this country experience, including all of the confusion and the dismay and the potential for unrest, is meant to be a sign to you from the one who created you. When you come to the altar, even this day, you will receive Christ under the form of the smallest wafer and the tiniest sip of wine. I pray that you do not miss the point. A miracle is taking place, a meeting of heaven and earth, one that is quite safe to believe in, a sign. If you are hungry physically, spiritually, come and receive your feeding. Jesus performs a miracle for us and declares to us who need to be filled, I am the bread of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.